the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Now, these are not just words that are to be sung to fill in time in a service. Not just sentimental ideas and out there kind of expressions, but these words that we sing this morning, that verse, I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, this is real. This is to be what we're about. This is not just something that we casually enter into. This is something that God has called us to, commanded us, and it is going to cost us. I love thee in life. I love thee in death. There's a story in John chapter 21, the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. I'm sure you're familiar. I'm going to ask you to turn there. John chapter 21. And we'll read a few of these verses this morning, beginning with verse 15. Carly, do you have that? John 21, verse 15 to 23. Would you read that for us, please?
So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed the lamb. Feed my lamb. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciples whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?
Thank you. Those of you who are on staff, you should have received this staff devotional for the 2015 camp season. I don't know if these are available to guests or if somebody wants to run copies, you can borrow mine. There's a theme song for the camp season that we'll sing in just a minute. And Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken. That's our kind of devotional thought for today, for Sunday. And the text that was put up on the top of this, under that, or the heading of this hymn, is from this portion of Scripture, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In this encounter that Jesus has with Peter, this is, of course, following Peter's betrayal of Jesus at his crucifixion. And three times Peter denied even knowing Christ or being part of that. And so here, after Jesus is crucified and Peter's heart has been broken and Jesus now has been resurrected and he's showing himself to the disciples before he's ascending to heaven, and he encounters Peter on the shore, and he's establishing again and restoring Peter to this place of relationship with him. You can imagine the brokenness of Peter going through those days and weeks, and the uncertainty, the one who says, no matter what happens, I will never betray you, I will never deny you, I will never turn my back on you, you can count on me. And within hours, he denies Christ, and here we have Jesus coming back to him. Peter, you love me? And there's a great encounter here and back and forth. Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? And really what it comes down to, Peter, do you really, 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 really love me? Lord, you know I do. Okay, Peter, here's what love's going to cost you. And he goes on to tell him a little bit about his future. He says, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, isn't that how life goes, huh? You'll stretch out your hands. And this here is talking specifically about the death that he would die. Tradition tells us that he was crucified like Christ. Tradition also tells us, possibly, that his request that was that he would be crucified upside down because he didn't deem himself worthy to die the same death as his Savior. We're not sure if that's exactly how it ended, but we do know that he was martyred for his faith. And he said, Jesus, that this was the kind of death he was to glorify God. And then he said, follow me. And so here's the proclamation of faith. Lord, I love you. And Jesus says, okay, here's what love is going to look like. Here's what love is going to cost you. There's a price to pay for love. Luke chapter 9. Do you have that? If you would follow in Luke chapter 9, verse 21. We'll read a few of those verses, please.
But he warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised up on the third day. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words and the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels.
Here again is the cost of love. Follow me. Oh, yeah, that's great. And there were crowds that did follow Jesus. We read that also in the Gospels, that Jesus was performing miracles and feeding multitudes and raising the dead and casting out demons. And so the crowds began to gather. You know, you can do that. You can gather crowds by doing kind of exciting things. And he did. He drew a crowd. There is a day then, after all the crowds had gathered, that he looks around and the crowds were scattering. And he asked his disciples, well, where's everybody going? And the disciples said, what? Anybody remember? Jesus, you're teaching some hard things. The crowd likes it when you feed them. Crowd likes it when you heal them. Crowd likes it when you walk on water, when you raise the dead, when you cast out demons. Crowds love that stuff, Jesus. But when you talk like this, they're not interested in that. See, because it costs something to follow Jesus. And look at the context that we just read in Luke chapter 9. The 21st verse says, Jesus is telling them, don't tell anybody what's going to happen, but he's telling his disciples, don't repeat this right now. The time isn't now, but I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to be rejected, and I'm going to be killed. He talks about being raised the third day. But he says, here's how it's going to work, and I'm going to lay down my life. And I'm going to be a sacrifice, and I'm going to hang on a cross. And then the very next thing he says, what I want you to do also is pick up your cross. In the same context of him laying down his life, he says, you do the same. Now, it may not look the same. We haven't seen this kind of death in, you know, around here. We're not familiar with hanging on a cross. But the concept there, the lesson, you will lay down your life, and your love for me, the cost for following me is great. Prove it. Peter, you say you love me. Prove it. What's it going to look like? It's costly. Love is costly. If you've ever loved somebody, you know it costs, right? I'm not just talking like, oh, you got to take them on a date and now you got to pay for dinner. You know, that part is costly too. And then you get married and it gets more costly, and you have kids and you love them and it's more costly. And it's never cheaper. I've said on many occasions, if I would have stayed single, I'd be one of the richest men in the world. And I've got nothing to show for it. It's costly. But in the love relationship, you don't experience any greater joy than with that person you are deeply in love with. But there's another side of it. You never experience deeper pain and sorrow and hurt than with the people that you're deepest in love with. And love is costly. And there's a sacrifice to pay for that. Scripture is just full of that lesson for us. God himself paid the greatest sacrifice in giving of his son. His love cost him. And he says, your love for me will cost you. And so we walk a bride down the aisle. And I've done this a lot of times. And I've stood and I've watched. And one time so far, I've gotten to be on the other end. 9 months ago when my daughter was married, it was really weird being on that side and seeing the doors open in front of you, and I did everything just not to collapse. But I've been on this end, and you watch the bride walk down, and the groom standing there all excited and all smiles, and they come before you, and you begin a ceremony, and then you exchange vows, we call it. And you've been in weddings, and some of you have shared these vows with your husband or your wife. And you say, groom, do you take this bride to be your wedded wife, to live together in marriage? Do you promise to love her and comfort her and honor her and keep her for better and worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health? And then there's this portion: forsaking all others. And remaining faithful only to her as long as life shall last. Those are some powerful words and powerful vows. And that is a moment of commitment, and it is a moment of signing your life away and saying, now I owe you everything. We talk about that in the wedding vows also, right? Everything that I have and possess, all my earthly goods, I the endow, that kind of thing. And it just means basically I own nothing anymore. It's all, it was supposed to be all us, right? It's all us. We're in this together. But nothing is mine anymore. And that idea, forsaking all others. And that's what Jesus asks of us. He says, you want to follow me? You want to be a disciple? Here's how it looks. You lay down your life. You forsake everything and everyone. Mother, father, sister, brother, child, parent. Everything is forsaken for my sake. It costs. And so when we sing this hymn, which we will now, hymn number 246. I'm sorry, 346. When we sing these words, Please don't just, you know, a disconnect. Adopt this. Make it part of who you are. And so make this part of your pledge, your prayer. All to leave and follow thee. Hymn number 346.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We want you to feel free to share what God puts on your heart by way of testimony or maybe a scripture, verse, thought that God has put in your heart for today. Some of you may be leaving. I know some this weekend are heading home later today. Maybe you want to share and you've been here a little while. Some of us just got here. We'd love to know what God's been doing in your heart and in our meetings here at camp so far. So please share and encourage us.
Thank you.